They came to the realization that even as much as siblings have different things that affect them personally, there's a lot that comes from parents as well. So we want to discuss that whole dynamic in the home, how to have a healthy relationship in the home. We'll be discussing obedience and respect in the home, favoritism in the home, and discipline in the home. Yes, and also at the end, we want to, because this is a youth thing, we want to open up the floor for a very open discussion between the parents and the youth. So we'd encourage a lot of the youths to actually contribute, and the parents contribute as well. So, obedience and respect. If we define obedience is defined as compliance with an order, request, law, or submission to another's authority. Respect is defined as the feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. In general, obedience can sometimes be strenuous because it's like someone constantly telling you what to do. It's like, that's the law, you have to do it. Obedience becomes hectic. It becomes like you're struggling to do it. But that's when respect comes in. Because when you respect somebody, it means out of love or deep admiration for what they're doing, who they are, you want to listen to them. And parents happen to fall into this category. We have pastors, we have mentors, professors, they all fall into this category, but parents fall into it as well. Because we love them and we admire them, we admire who they are, obedience becomes easy, or it should become easy for us because we respect them. If we could just go to the next slide. So what does the Bible say about obedience? We all know the scripture, Ephesians 6:1, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, because it's the first commandment with a promise. So we know that obedience and respect is not just something that parents decided one day in the closet. They were like, we should make sure our children respect us. This is actually something that God wants. He wants us to respect our parents. So we are going to go into the reasons why we obey our parents, because it's not enough to just say, obey your parents. Like, sometimes you want to know why. Why do I even have to obey them? And if we realize that we obey our parents because we lack the knowledge to actually tread the waters of life, especially when we're just growing up, right? There's so much we don't know about the world. There's so much that our own mind cannot yet comprehend, and that's why we have parents. So it's not only imperative that you listen to your parents, it's for your own good to listen to your parents. Because eventually, and this changes with time, because obviously we grow up and we gain knowledge. So it's not to say that all through your life you don't know what to do, because eventually you will know what to do. But it's to understand that even though you know what to do, your parents still have the capacity to guide you no matter what age level you are. And if we look at what the Bible says on taking good counsel, in Proverbs 19:20, it says, take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. Right? So you would do yourself a huge favor, you know, if you could just come to the understanding that my parents know lots of things. They've been here a while, right? And even spiritually, They've been here a while. They've carried that Bible enough times, more than you. Hopefully your parents are Christians, at least, I hope, right? And it would be good to just listen to them, right? Listening, not listening blindly, but listening to them to understand that, okay, they will tell me something, I'll take what they've told me, and I'll try to apply that to my life, right? So another reason why we obey our parents is because God gave us to them. Right, we say yes, parents, they come together, they make us, but you have to understand that you being with your parents is not just biology. Yes, sure, biology plays a huge part, but it's not just biology. God placed you in their care for a reason. Like, he didn't put you, like, he didn't put Mary in my family. Not that I'd love to have you in my family, but, like, he didn't place Mary in my family. Because what if, like, my parents cannot guide Mary to who she actually needs to become? Right? What if Mary being in my family, like, maybe I wouldn't have been the best sibling to Mary? Right? So you're placed in your family for a particular reason, not just biology. And once you begin to understand that, you begin to see your house in a different dynamic, that you're not just here by chance. Right? Lots of things might not be going well, but you're not here by chance. God has placed you there. God has placed your parents there. They have everything you need, intellectually, physically, to be able to guide you to where you need to where God wants you to be. So it's like God made you. He knows where you're going to. He placed you in the hands of these people to guide you, to help you get there. So once you begin to look at that in that way, right? So that instruction of, oh, you should wake up at 6 in the morning and instead of watching TV, how about you go read your books or something or go do some chores? That's no longer now a problem because now you're saying, okay, if my parents want me to do some chores, yeah, sure, I don't like it because it's 6 a.m. in the morning, but that's part of God's plan. Because maybe when you go to college, you might need to get up at 6 a.m. because you have exams to study for. But if you did not have that habit from home, it becomes hard. So when you begin to look at everything as strings that are connected together, you begin to see that God's plan in itself is much more than we could comprehend. So in that regard, it'd be wise for us to actually obey our parents. And we can see in the scripture, in Proverbs 22:6, it says, point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they will not be lost. That's like God's instruction to parents. Like, just train them because he has given them to you. So even as parents, like, do not see your children as, like I said, just biology. Like, they're placed in your care by God. Like, if God gives you something, it's in your best interest to do the most with it. I mean, we all know the parable of the talent. Children are just like that to you. If God gives them to you, you have to make sure that when God begins to look at their life, he sees them almost multiplying. And he gave them to you a certain way, but when he's going to take account, he expects them to have blossomed. He expects them to be better. So that's the mandate for parents. And when we look at why do we respect our parents, like I said, honoring our parents is a heavenly mandate. Like, God actually wants you to respect your parents because it secures your future. Right? There's a lot of things you can avoid. There's a lot of things that will go smoothly for you in life if you respect your parents, because there's things that you don't see. Especially when we're tender, there's things we don't know about. There's things that they can foresee that if we only respect them enough to listen to them, sometimes things they say you might not agree with it. That's just general people behavior. You might not agree with everything somebody says. But respecting your parents and honoring them means that even if you don't agree, you respect them, but you could have a conversation with them as to why you don't agree. Right? And respect does beget respect. If you do not respect your parents, I guarantee you there's no way they will respect you. And you're doing yourself a disfavor, because if your parents don't respect you, there's a lot of things they won't trust you with, and then you feel like your parents are, you know, being harsh on you, and now you want to do your own thing, and now, like a string of events, things are going haywire. So respecting your parents, just even listening to your parents, taking their instruction. I know personally, like, my parents, they're huge on not going out just on our own a lot. But every time they allowed us, like, my dad would say, come back at 5. The first time, came back at like 4:30. He didn't increase that time for like 4 years. But then one day I said, Daddy, I need to go and I'll be late. I'll come back at like 7. He was like, okay. I was scared to ask because he had always said 5. But that day I asked and I said 7, and he was fine with it. But then I realized that it's because he knows that the 5 he gave me, I have always kept to it. So if I say 7, I will be home by 7. So that mutual respect between us allowed us to build a relationship and to also trust each other, right? So, I need to be faster. So when you respect your parents, you will be more likely to listen to their instructions and earn their trust. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's Colossians 3:20. And if we look at fostering relationships between your parents, you have to be interested in them. You have to be interested in your parents, because a lot of times we children take it for granted. Like, they're our parents. They're there.
I'll just be wrapping up. Your time is up.
Yeah.
For the next question.
Whether they like it or not, they're going to be there. So, if we're... Be proactive and observe. Don't ignore their nonverbal signs. Like, parents do it a lot. They don't have to always say everything. You've lived with them for years. Just understand them, observe them, and know how they are. When you want to talk to your parents, be assertive, be calm, but never disrespectful, and do not take their love for granted. You should acknowledge the hard work they do, acknowledge that they're a positive influence in your life, and respect them for that. Thank you.
Everyone. So the next topic we're gonna talk about is favoritism in the home. I'll wait until it reaches up over there. All right. So in the dictionary, definition of favoritism is a specific type of differential treatment when one child receives more positive treatment compared to his or her siblings. So that's basically generic. We all know, like, when one parent favors the other, and like the sibling feels some type of way. So in the Bible, James 2:1, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others?" So once again, it's in the Bible. We all know what's in the Bible is the truth. So if it's written in the Bible, we should know that we should not favor one over the other. And also in Romans 2:11, it says God does not show favoritism. So if God our Father doesn't show favoritism, we as his children should also not show favoritism as well. And it also mentions that favoritism is a sinful act that can lead children into rebellion against God. So if the children feel like their parents are favoring one over the other, and they understand the Bible, understand the word, and they see that okay, if our God, our Father, does not condone favoritism, why is it that my parents are the ones who have favoritism towards my other sibling, my brother, whoever it might be? And we should know that if they feel that way, they'll feel like, okay, well then, if it's in the Bible and they're not following that, then I should not listen to the Bible as well. I should not listen to my Father. I should not listen to God. And they can go about doing sinful acts, whether it's going to be on the streets, whether they'll be in jail, whatever it might be, they feel like there's no way I should listen to God if my parents are not, my parents who are those who are above me are not listening to God as well. So in James 2:9, it says, "But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law." Even though our Father, he does forgive us for our sins, this is one sinful act that we should, I guess, keep in mind, that our children may or may not understand that that God will forgive us for our sins. So we just should remember as parents and as children that we should more or less just follow the word and not commit a sin. And also another thing we should keep in mind is that parents also, they may not understand that what they're doing is favoritism. For me, I'm one of four, so I have three sisters. My mom always continues to say that she doesn't have favorites. She loves all of us the same, which is true. But sometimes we feel like, at least for me, sometimes we feel that my mom may favor one child over the other because she's a pharmacist. My mom might favor the other child over the other because she's a nurse. Or me, I'm a scientist. So my siblings may feel that at a certain point in life, my mom favored one another, but it's not the case. My mom also made it a point to say, like, okay, like, I don't favor anyone. I love everyone the same. You guys are, I'm proud of all your accomplishments. So they need to make sure that our parents and children should have a communication with with one another. For example, also if they feel that way, if the children feel that that they should, if they feel like their parents are favoring one another, right? They should also remember to talk to our parents, and parents should do the same. Talk to your children to reassure them that I'm not favoring anyone. You guys are all my children, and the way we go about it, we should remember that in Colossians 4:6 it says, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you have the right response for everyone." So, parents, if your children come up to you and say, "Hey, mom, dad, I feel like you don't acknowledge my accomplishments," you should remember that, okay, if they're coming to you that way, it means something. It doesn't mean that they're angry at you, but they just want to have an open communication with you. So they want to make sure that the dialogue between one another is open. And children as well, you don't go to your parents angry and come to them and say like, "Well, mom, dad, the way you talk about how she's a doctor and I'm not, if it makes me feel type of way, I don't like that." No, you don't do that. You go to them and say with an open heart so that you guys both understand where you're coming from. And also, parents, you must remember that each child is unique, but should be loved the same way. God made us as individuals. We're all his children. We all have our unique talents, our own gifts. So we must remember that everyone is different, but regardless, we should all be loved the same way. And also in Psalm is a Bible, it says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him." So we must remember that. Everyone, even though one may not be the doctor, the lawyer, the engineer, it doesn't matter. They all are a gift from God, and we should be loved the same way. Also, in the Bible, we see like favoritism expressed throughout. So we notice that if one parent favors another, that the one who feels left out, they will resent the children in adulthood. They'll resent the sibling in adulthood. So when they come older, they'll know, well, okay, she's the quote unquote golden child, right? He's the quote unquote golden child. If my parents didn't love me when I come older, why should I feel like I should have a communication relationship with my sibling because we never had that connection growing up? So we must remember, and also that jealousy may arise. If children, also, it's upon yourself, also for your siblings, you should talk to them as well, because if you feel like they're the favorite one, you may become jealous. That jealousy will lead into adulthood, to resentment, so you have no communication, no relationship with your sibling at all. And obviously we know that that's not what our Father wants for us. We want us to live happily together as one.
So we're going to go into discipline. The definition of discipline is training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. So the scripture that goes with that is that Hebrews 12:8, it says, "If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters." So God is saying to us that discipline is very integral in our growth process. So it's needed. And even for, you know, our families on this earth, is a very important thing for parents to discipline their children. It's an integral part of parenting. You discipline your children because you love them, right? In the scripture says, "For what children are not disciplined by their father?" So God is telling us, like, he's handing, you know, children to you as a gift. And he's giving, it's like a commission. And he's telling you, like, this is the time that you need to raise them, to grow them, like Anu said, to who I want them to be. For you to do that, you need to be able to correct them, to advise them. And you do that out of love. And that's the same thing that God does for us. So we have to have that same mindset. This is what God does for us. This is what we have to do for our children. And then it also says, don't withhold discipline from your children when it's necessary. Sometimes parents feel like, oh, like, you know, my kids are little, you know, they'll just, let me just leave them. You know, next time they'll do better. But like, the more that you leave them like that, the more they gain that bad behavior. And you don't want that for your children, because you and them will reap the benefits of discipline. And in the scripture, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful, right? But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. So when your children grow up, they will be thankful to you for how you have corrected them, how you have trained them, how they are peaceful, you know, because they know what is right and wrong. When they grow up and they are independent, they know what to do. When they go off to college, they're now calling you on the phone saying, "Mommy, like, I need you to do my laundry," or something like that, you know. But they know all the things that they need to do while they are growing up because you have trained them. You have made them become independent for themselves, right? And also, encouragement is a form of discipline. Discipline doesn't always have to be harsh. You know, sometimes I don't know, maybe it's a Nigerian thing, like we feel like, oh, like we have to yell or like we have to, you know, spank the person or something like that. But it's not always necessary for you to spank, you know, but you can encourage your children, especially when they are older. Like at that point, when they're like 18 or something like that, you can't spank them anymore. But you can advise them, right? You can tell them, okay, sit them down, have a conversation. That's a form of correction. You're advising your children. That's the same thing that God does for us. When we go to him, we're like, "God, okay, like, I know I messed up," right? But he comes and he says, "Okay, my child, this is how you're supposed to do this." Like, he trains you by giving you wisdom, advising you, encouraging you in those moments when you feel down. And your child probably feels down when they have done wrong. So it's a time for you to encourage them, right? And don't discipline in anger. Listen to your children first. And then you go to God, because God knows everything, right? You go to him and you say, "God, like, I don't know the way to approach my child at this moment. Give me words, give me wisdom to approach them in this moment so that I can train them the way that you want me to train them." And in Psalm 103, verse 7 to 10, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse," right? "Nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." If God, our Father, like shows us mercy and compassion, right? He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't say, "Well, you did this, so I'm gonna smite you," or something like that. But he says, rather, like, "My arms are wide open for you to come back in." So that's the same way that we have to treat our children. Like, our arms should always be open for them. We shouldn't treat, you know, lash out in anger, but we should talk in love, because they see that love that you have for them. They think about it and they say, "Wow, like, my parents really love me." If they can just calm down and, like, you know, talk to me as if, "Wow, like, no matter what you do, you're always accepted," right? And also be fair in the correction you give. If your children are around the same age, like we talked about favoritism, it's a huge thing. You know, like, if you discipline one in one way and then another, you give them more punishment, that can, you know, create resentment between the siblings, as we talked about before. So we should always try to be fair in our discipline towards our children, and don't show favoritism in the consequences dished out for wrong behavior. You know, in scripture, it says in Psalm 25, verse 8, it says, "God is fair and just. He corrects the misdirected, sends them in the right direction." And also Romans 2:11, it says, "For God does not show favoritism." So why should we, as children of God, do the thing that God doesn't do, right? He says that, you know, we should be holy like he is holy. So we should follow the footsteps of our Father in heaven in the way that we treat our children, just as he treats us. So now we're going to go to how parents affect sibling relationship. So this is just basically a summary of everything we have talked about. The first point is that favoritism can cause hatred amongst siblings in the home. So we hit on this, you know, point a lot of times. So it's important for us to have that ingrained in our mind. Don't show more favor to one over the other, because you're trying to make your children, you're trying to create a unified home. You don't want this unity in your home. So, like, it's important that the way that you treat your children is equal. Also, unequal treatment, especially when it comes to discipline, is wrong. You know, we don't want that in the home. Like, you don't want your child to feel like, "Oh, my mom hates me," or, "My dad hates me. They don't love me the same." And then they don't want to tell you anything ever because of the way that you treat them. And you don't know that because of the lack of communication between you and your children. So it's important that you establish communication and that you also discipline them equally. And over comparison between siblings is wrong. Like, everybody is made uniquely in God's image. Everybody is different. Nobody's ever gonna be the same. So when you compare one child, look at your brother, look at him, he's getting A's in school and he's doing this and doing that, that will actually turn your children off from you. Like, they don't wanna talk to you about anything. They feel like, oh, like, I'm not the same person, why should he compare me? So don't compare your children, but rather encourage them. If they're doing wrong, if they're doing bad in school or anything like that, be like, I know you can do better. I know that God has given you intellect. Encourage them, because that builds them up. And they're like, wow, like, you know, they're empowered to go and do better. You know, they actually listen to you when you talk with love in those moments. That's all we have for now. So we have question and answers. Anyway.
Okay. Auntie Meg has a question. We encourage a lot of youths to actually please participate. This is an avenue for you to actually speak your mind, all right, as well. But Auntie Meg.
Praise God. I'm very blessed this morning to what you have said here today, and I know a lot of you are blessed. It's just an addition, actually, it's not a question. You know, as all of you have said, that favoring one person over another is not the way God wants his children to behave. That is, you know, favoring one person over another brings resentment, hatred, disobedience. That is not something that's supposed to be done in a home, and it's not limited to a home. It's not limited to your children. You know, you have to carry it over to your workplace. In the church, it happens in the church. It happens at workplaces. So we have to take note of this, that if you are one of those doing it, just know that even if you are not sinning, you're not doing this or doing that, or other things you call sin, that this is one of the greatest things that you do, that we bring disunity in a home, in a workplace, in a church, in a gathering places. So we have to take note of that. Another thing is about respecting your children. You know, I heard one of you say that, you know, you have to respect your children. You have to respect your parents. It's vice versa. If you don't respect your children, you don't deserve to get respect from them. It can be your biological children. It can be your adopted children. It can be your spiritual children. When you respect somebody, you deserve respect. But if you don't respect somebody, it brings resentment, hatred, and disobedience. So that's what I have to add.
Praise God. I wanted to talk about basically parents' role in making sure that siblings have a tight relationship from the beginning. I think it's very important that when, as parents have multiple children, that they start off very young, encouraging the children to be close and to like bond together. You know, to take care of one another, you know, that each sibling should communicate. When they're going out, don't forget your sister. Don't forget to bring her something home, or don't forget to call her. I think it's the parents' duty from the onset to make sure that the siblings, their children, all have a very tight relationship. So at least that foundation is built. And then as the children grow, of course they may go to different, you know, have different things in their lives going on, but at least that foundation is built. So, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but, like, I love, like, the Emmanuels, like, how Amanda is always, like, you know, kissing her little sister, and all of them are, like, always holding each other. And, you know, that is such a strong thing, because at the end of the day, whenever her little sister needs her, she's going to run to her because she knows that my big sister is there. But if the parents don't start that early, it's going to cause a divide. So I want to encourage parents to, when you have small children, start early. Make sure that they're a team, that they're working together, and that they know that they should count on each other so that when they grow up, they're there for each other.
Praise God. Praise God. I have a question for the panelists on favoritism. Suppose you have children and there is some of them that are one that do things without being told and do very proactive.
Yes.
And I give example, you come back from grocery, all of them are home, one hear the sound of car, he come bringing all the grocery, don't let you take one in, and the others are sitting, and many other circumstances, he come, you know, asking you, doing things without being told, and you praise the person more, is it, do you see it as favoritism?
Okay. Before we answer, I think we have a youth whose hand is up, so we'll take an answer from then. Let's see.
I think sometimes you don't know the intention of that child that's coming to help you with your groceries. I was that child. And honestly, I just didn't want my mom to bother me. She's like, I'll help you with your groceries, and I'll go away. Because then you're like, oh, this child is awesome. You don't bother to care what else she's doing. And then you're focusing on the other kid that is not coming to help you with your groceries. Like, sometimes the fact that that kid is just always proactive doesn't mean you should favor that person. Like, kids are different, like we've all already said. They're different. Now, my parents probably trust my brother more because, you know, he turned out to be the more responsible kid. Even though growing up, I was supposedly the golden child. Right? You need to, not favoring your children helps them to understand that even though my brother is supposedly the golden child or I'm the golden child, we're all still equal in the sight of our parents. Don't now decide, because she helps me with groceries, I'll buy her candy when I'm coming home. No. Buy candy for everybody and just call all of them to come help you with groceries. It's not that hard. But when you make a stand and pick one child, as this is my favorite child. And you may not like say it obviously, but people know. Even you know. Even when you lie to yourself and say, oh my God, I love all my kids the same. You know you're lying to yourself because you have the kid that you're obviously favoring. And every other person, every other child eventually will just look at that golden child and be like, you know what? Be mommy's baby. When you need me, you come and meet me, Abby. No. Go and meet your mommy. Let your mommy help you. And that kid becomes an outcast in the home.
Praise God. I want to talk about discipline. Discipline is a huge thing, especially in Africa. It's true, when you discipline a child, you're trying to teach that child. You're trying to correct that child. But the Bible says when you discipline a child, discipline that child in love. I remember a long, long time ago when I was in Nigeria in Lagos, a lady said, she was quite old, and she said, when you discipline a child harshly, that child becomes rebellious. That is true. Because whenever we tend to think that we have to scream, we do it, all of us do it. Or we tend to spank a child for the child to learn correction. But with time, I think the right thing to do is to call that child. Because this child needs to know what he did. Because most of the time, we discipline a child harshly without letting the child know what he or she has done. And this leaves this child asking, what did I really do? At the end of the day, nothing was done, but you think you'd have disciplined your child. I think that when a child is doing something that is wrong, yes, we are their parents. We have to discipline them in love. We have to call them. We have to tell them, this is what you're doing that is wrong. They may not understand, especially the teenagehood time is very hard. So they see the things you're telling them as if it's going from this ear and it's flying out. But in time, they're going to know. You know, a young man came to my house yesterday, and we're just talking, and he says something. He said, oh, Auntie Kim, I used to do this, but I don't do them no more. Because when this person was a teenager, things
We all know, nurses knows, hormones are flying high. They're not getting it. But somehow, because they are in the house of the Lord, they are getting it. And they are packaging it somewhere. And when they get to that stage, they start utilizing it. It's not lost. You are all here, and I know you guys are no longer babies. And there were times when maybe mommy says something. I'm not saying it could be applicable to any one of us. And you did not take it the way, or you didn't just get it. But now you are getting it. Because you've been in the Lord, and you now understand now what mommy was saying then. So what I'm saying to us parents is that when we discipline children, it is very pertinent that we discipline them in love. We pray for them. Prayer is an aspect of discipline. When you talk to your child and your child is doing something wrong, and you go on your knee in prayer, that's the first thing. It's part of discipline. You're telling God, Daddy, I want you to handle this right now. I can't handle it. Then you talk to that child. In time, I tell you the truth, when you begin to talk to your child and tell your child that what he's doing, maybe he's doing something wrong, guess what? That child open up and they begin to, there's this relation, they have this trust now. Oh, what mommy is saying is true. They will get it one day. And they will actually get it. So when we discipline our children, it's not all about the cane. It's not all about the shouting. We can do it. I'm not saying don't discipline your children, but I'm saying it shouldn't be like that all the time, or else they will become rebellious. Praise God.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Ooh. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I wanted to add that the implications of favoritism is not far-fetched.
Okay.
We've seen the case of, in the Bible, the case of Joseph and his brothers. We saw what happened. The parents favored Joseph above the brothers to the extent that they bought, Bible said, a coat of many colors. And what did that do? They saw the brother as, oh, this is the one that my parents love most. And what happened? They ended up conniving and selling their brother. Actually, they wanted to kill him in the first place, but later on they changed their mind and sell the brother. You can imagine what that means. You know your blood, you can't even imagine somebody beating your brother, not to talk of selling your brother or even, you know, planning to kill him. So these are the implications. Parents, we have to be very careful. And for those of us that have lived in Nigeria and have house helps, we know if you mistreat your house help, they will wait for you to go home, go out. When you go out, they will take their revenge on your kids. They will tell the kids, your parents can beat me, but then I can beat you back. Praise the Lord. In the case of discipline, I want to mention that we have to be very careful the way we discipline our kids. Don't discipline in anger. If your child does something and you want to vent that anger on your kid, honestly speaking, just sit back. Sit back, wait until that anger subsides. Then you can now, know how to discipline that kid. But when you discipline in anger, you find out that you beat that child black and blue. And at the end of the day, you will regret what you did. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay. Just going forward, we'll try to keep it really short, right? And let's not double back on what a lot of people... If somebody has said something, just in your mind, accept that they've said it and go with it, all right? Okay, so we're going to go with Pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you so much. In fact, I wanted to comment on the question that my beloved sister Alice asked. I want to say I agree with what the young girl said, my precious daughter, and... But I want to encourage us, in spite of that, I think it's very important that we are very helpful to our parents. While the child is, like she said, the golden child coming out to help the parent, I think it's still good that you simply commend the child and thank the child and say, God bless you, because he or she is doing the right thing. The Bible said we should obey those who rule, that's Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you, for you. So, I mean, the child is doing something that is profitable for him or for her. It's a wonderful thing, you know, in Ghana, many years back, I remember that when your parents are coming back, once you hear any sound, you're rushing out, mommy is back, or daddy is back, or even, you know, a spouse, your husband is coming in, or your wife is coming, you come out. We still practice that in my home today, at least between me and my husband, and it's very encouraging for the children. You hear the sound of vehicle stopping, you come out, say, hey, mommy, welcome. That hug, there is something that you're doing to your parents. There is something you're doing to your spouse. There is something you're doing to who. You learn to celebrate people. It adds value to them, and their hearts are blessing you. You take their bag in. If it's your spouse, you take the bag in. You hug. How was your day? If it's a child, oh, my dear, how are you? I still do it today. When I come back from work, I drop my bag. Even though my children will not come out, at least as most of the time, I knock on their door, open their door, nah, how are you? How was your day? There is something you're sowing into their lives, whether they are taking it or not, but sometime in future, it's going to, they are going to remember all these things. We learn to appreciate each other and add value to each other. I can't tell you, I remember the other day I was saying it, how my mom used to bless me. And I said, those blessings have been playing out in my life today. I mean, I am not ashamed, I'm not afraid to say that as far as I go, I believe I'm the most blessed of the four of us in my home. I know how people were always, you know, telling to me, you know, whoever is going to marry is going to be very happy, will not have need of any other woman. They say, your future is bright. These were unbelievers. At the time, I wasn't even born again. Because that thing that I learned from my family, I carried it outside. I learned to celebrate people. You learn to add value to people's life. I think it's something that children should do. Like he was teaching us, he said, children, obey your parents. He said, because they are God's representatives, so that it may be well with you and you will live long life. Long. This is part of it. But today, a lot of them are so busy with their cell phones, with their computer, with their internet, that even when their parents are coming back or knocking, nobody bothers. They just stay there. I will encourage, you know, our children, please learn to rush out and welcome your parents when they come in. When I got married to my husband, when my father-in-law or my mother-in-law, the moment I hear their vehicle stopping, I will quickly come out and I will embrace them and I will help to carry with it. When I was married at the time, and then my sister-in-laws, everybody will come out. So there is something that you're doing when you're appreciating your parents, when you're out there to help them. In fact, my son, Ugo, just about a month ago, said, mommy, I just want to help to reduce the stress upon your life. I'm going to be scrubbing the kitchen. I'm going to be scrubbing the bathroom. You don't need to bother about those things. Because I have been scrubbing the kitchen and the bathroom, and then when I ask them to do it, the bathroom, they will not do it. He will do at his own turn, but the others will not do it at their own turn. I have to keep on reminding and reminding week after week, and then I will still end up going to do it. So, but he has been doing that consistently without stopping. He will clean the sink. I will come on a Friday, everything is done, and he said, mommy, don't bother about boiling rice. I'm going to be boiling rice now. And he's been doing that till today. This is what I'm saying. Can you imagine how my heart has been bubbling with joy? That's what I'm saying. And he said, nah, God bless you for me. That's what, God bless you, because it's coming from my heart. I believe it's going to reflect in his life. Amen.
Oh, okay.
I want to thank God for what my wife said, but I want to say that my other children also carry garbage. They do other things. So there are other things. But you know, women are attached to food, cooking food, and cleaning kitchen. But all my children help in the house. I'm telling you. They cut grass. They carry snow. You know, women is about kitchen. But me is about carrying snow. So they carry snow. They do a lot. All of them serve with all their heart. we always come here and we thank God for each one of them. And then so your rice is boiled, my snow is shoveled.
All right. We'd like to encourage a lot of, like, it'd be good for, this is a youth thing. Like, we want more youths to actually talk. Like, this is what eventually happens. Like, you're in your house, your parents are saying things. It's like people just get scared. But you don't need to be. This is the house of God. Be free, you know? Be free to speak your mind. I don't know about your lunch. Okay, so we have... Auntie has been raising her hand for a while, so if we go Auntie, and then Chida, where's Tolu? Oh, okay, I guess we'll do the offering now, and then after the offering, Mrs. Onyechi, let us just...
The Lord, I just want to, because we have parents and youth here, I want to appeal to our youth on behalf of the parents or myself as well that also give grace to your parents, because understand that it's one of the hardest things that anyone will do is to be a parent. So even though you mean well a lot of times, but we all need grace. We are all growing. The word of God is also working and changing us. Think of our foundation, where we came from, and all the changes that we're making every day, and be gracious to your parents. And just allow us to be growing also and be changing. And if you do that, it will affect the way you take all the recommendations, which I thought was fantabulous. I thought that everything that was said here is such a blessing, I'm telling you. It's just awesome. And so we parents, as we listen to you guys, I think that the youth, please give us grace. We make a lot of mistakes. Many times when we do it already before we realize that we shouldn't do it this way. And then along the line of favoritism, please don't take it as favoritism if your sibling is doing something and the parents are grateful to them. It doesn't mean really that they love that sibling more, but they want to acknowledge what somebody did. It's not favoritism. So just to inch that in. Thank you.
We have a youth, though. Yeah, so after Chidera, we'll go down this list.
Hi, so this is along the lines of what Sister Onyechi just said. I just wanted to kind of talk to the parents about the power of, like, apologizing. So in middle school and in high school, I definitely used to rub shoulders a lot with my mom. I was very, and it made me very, like, prideful, very confrontational. There was just, like, never a day when, like, I wasn't trying to, like, fight or I wasn't disagreeing or things like that. And while, you know, 85% of the time I was wrong, the 15% of the time when, you know, my mom would, I guess, be at fault, or maybe she, you know, misjudged the situation or overreacted or, you know, didn't really understand, like, where I was coming from or my side, I realized that, you know, it would make me so angry because I felt like, oh, but, you know, she can't admit that she's wrong or all that stuff. And then it would have me all puffed up. And then I noticed that if I get into something with somebody else, maybe it's my siblings or even my friends, I was too prideful to, you know, apologize, or I'd be all puffed up, especially, like, you know, being older and stuff. But I remember, I don't know, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, the first time that my mom just, like, it was after altercation, so I was already, you know, all puffed up, ready to not talk to her for however many, you know, all that stuff. And then she just, you know, just sent me this long text, and, like, the first line was, like, an apology. And it, like, really disarmed me, and, you know, it made me, it was crazy how it just kind of, like, completely reduced my pride, because I didn't have anything to fight about anymore. I didn't have, and it was very surprising to me. And I noticed that I feel like it's a thing amongst, like, you know, maybe African parents sometimes, you know, you feel that even if you're wrong, like, there's no need to acknowledge it. There's no need to own up to it or maybe apologize, things like that. But it's actually very, very powerful, and it's very transformative when you can do that with your children, because, like, now I feel like I'm a much less prideful person because of my mom and, like, her ability to just come to me. And, like, so now if I'm in a situation, I'm more likely to, disagreement with my friends, I'm more likely to be like, hey, listen, like, I messed up, I'm sorry, and I'm not, that pride is no longer there, so it doesn't hurt.
All right, so we have a minute, but we'd like to get through it. If everybody could just, like, stick to, like, literally 20 seconds. 20.
Praise God. So, this is awesome. Thank you so much. I want to also, you know, applaud the church for the avenues that has been set up, you know, for the youth to explore their talent, learning from relating with one another, the youth retreat, you know, even the children ministry, they have, you know, avenues. You know, all these activities, they help with the word of God. They help mold us. Amen. I am a testimony of this, you know, ministries, you know, and, you know, as parents, you know, I encourage us to start young, from as little as 3 age. That is, you know, they learn from 0 to 1 age. This is, you know, very important stage where children learn, you know, our behaviors, and these behaviors, they learn from us, you know, as parents. And also when we engage them in our activities, you know, where they play with one another, they interact with one another, they learn behavior, they learn responsibilities, they know, you know, they learn, you know, you teach them how to differentiate between negative and positive, you know, behaviors. You know, this is, you know, I encourage us to start, you know, early, because, you know, I'm privileged, you know, as a therapist to, you know, work with children who have, you know, just behavior issues, because they don't have somebody, you know, that will tell them what to do at a tender age, and they grow up with what they learn, you know, and it becomes an issue in their life, you know. So I encourage us, you know, to start early, and we have all the avenues in this church and also at home in schools. You know, there are sports that they participate in that will help them, you know, to utilize their talent and learn. Amen. And also, I just want us to differentiate between punishment and discipline. There is, you know, a thin line between punishment
up,
and discipline.
Up.
So
time's
please
up.
Let's, you know, look into that. Thank you.
Time's up. Sorry.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, after Auntie Carol, nobody else.
We just have to keep it
please,
real quick.
Please. Okay. We're done.
Okay. So I just also want to say to the youth and the children that parents also grow in parenting. You have to know that. Because majority of the time, I don't know about it, in my house, I have 5 children. And the people that accuse you of favoritism most of the time is the older ones. Because you have to know, when you had your children younger, you've not learned much. But as more children come, you've learned the skill of parenting, and you're still growing in parenting. And they accuse you, oh, if it was me when I was that age and I did this, this is what you would have done. But now, because she's your favorite, you're not doing that. So also give parents the grace that we grow in parenting. And the more you learn as a parent, the more you adjust. Again, every child is different. Even though every children is from you and your husband, but they're different. And as you watch your children, you will see in the house, my oldest son, it's a killer for me to ask him to do housework. He will not do it. But he's willing to do anything that needs to be fixed in the house, anything outside, he will do it. So I don't bother him with doing housework. I leave him alone. But my second son can cook, can do other things for me. But if I ask him to do what my older son does, it's like killing him. So I leave him and let him do those ones I know that he likes to do, you know? So as parents, you also have to know your children and know areas they like. My daughter was touching me not to talk. But I'm going to talk. Because I have my daughters. My youngest daughter in my house, she can clean up the whole house energetically when she's ready to.
Okay. Also, stop teaching.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, when you as a parent know the skills, know the areas of interest of your children, you have a little more peace to yourself because you harness everyone's energy. Understand, God taught me that because sometimes I will say in my heart, why can't you act like this person? And the Lord made me know, if all my children act the same way, it will be such a boring family, you know? Because I notice when things happen, you will see the impact of one character on that situation compared to impact of the other one. You have children that are really quiet, and you have the children that are a little more aggressive, and you will see that you need all of them in your home. Because there are times when you need ones that are more assertive to go forward and be able to act on behalf of the family. And you notice that there are times you need the one that is a little more pragmatic to go out and on behalf of the family. So I encourage every parent, we grow in parenting, and we're still growing. And children, don't take it that, oh, this child is being favored. Like Pastor Dorothy said, it gives me joy when my children help me. And when you're happy, you bless them. You keep saying, oh, the Lord will bless you for doing this for me or for doing that for me. You know, but if you make me do it in anger, I'm always quarreling with you, I'm always struggling to get you to do something, it grieves my spirit. And when it grieves my spirit, I'm not saying, oh, God bless you, God. It's not that I'm not blessing you, but at that point, I'm not happy. And you have to know that your parents, they have to go out and walk, come home, so that you will have a roof over your head. So you have to really appreciate that. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Thank you very much, everyone. We could just close with a quick prayer.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks, and remain blessed.